Shark Bagley. Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shark Bagley. All things loose and disorderly with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. We're up to episode 92, so anything of interest with the same digits? Well, the number of naturally occurring chemical elements. Miles of open shelving in the Cambridge University Library. And the age of the oldest person to grow a new tooth. It was verified in January 2014 and belonged to Erna Kahan from New Jersey in the States when she was 92 years and 144 days old. Can you believe that? So, this finds you well. Not sure where the time's gone. How is it we're already in December? Anyway, as you know, Howard and I record our podcast via Zoom, so there's always a slight delay from hearing him to seeing him when we first log on, which is exactly what happened when we caught up this week. But on this occasion, something else too.
Oh!
You frightened me then!
I'm sorry, I don't know what that was. It was like a sort of cough and a... Oh, dear.
A cough sorry. And a sneeze at the same time.
Yeah,
same time. You know my history. It's going to do me a right, Mr.
Bless
Chief.
You. Oh, dear.
Howard.
You're all right.
I am now.
Can I pay you a compliment before we start?
Right.
Because I was catching up on the podcast this morning while I had a run. I have to say, Shaq Bagley is not running kind of... Oh, wait a minute, there's somebody at the door. What's he doing? Sorry. Anyway, after I'd had a run, I was listening to Shaq Bagley and I thought, obviously, I know what we've talked about, but I don't hear the introductory bit until I actually listened to the podcast. And I just thought, when you were talking about 91 and all of the things associated with the number 91, and I thought, you know, I could listen to Katie's voice forever. I just think it's just so soothing and just so lovely and kind of, it is a radio voice, isn't it? It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. As he sorted that door out.
But you knew that already, didn't you?
As he sorted the door out.
Yeah, no, he's just gone to answer the door. It's the plumbing. Oh, we're having problems with the heating.
Oh, no. Oh, it's cold as well.
And well, we have just had it on. But you know how we're on what's called like a district heating system? So basically, it's like they burn waste miles away or somewhere, and that heats up something like water, I think, that is then pumped through the streets or somewhere. I don't know how it works. Don't ask me, I'm not a heating engineer. Anyway,
let's cross now to our heating correspondent, Howard Middleton.
Certain public buildings and the university and things like that are on this grid. And we are as well. But what it means is that you have to have somebody professional come out and look at it if something goes wrong. Anyway, we put the heating on the other day and Peter's there going round sort of saying some of these radiators are not heating up. So they need bleeding in order to, equalise the heat through them. And it's not a job that individuals can do. It has to be done professionally. So we had to have somebody.
It's crazy,
yes,
isn't it?
I know.
Good Lord.
So anyway, they came to do it yesterday and all of the radiators are now heating up properly, which is great. I went into the bathroom and said, did you do the one in the bathroom? Yeah. No, I said, it must have left some of the water underneath it. So I mopped up the water underneath the radiator, came back about 30 minutes later. There's more water underneath the radiator. So he's obviously not tightened something up and the radiator is in the bathroom is leaking water. So I had to report that again. And they were going to send somebody tomorrow. And then they said it was urgent. So they're going to send somebody today.
Do you think it might be that?
And I don't know if it... I think it might be, you know, yeah.
Do you need to do anything? Do you need to go and...
To be perfectly honest, I went out yesterday when they came to do it the first time, and Peter phoned me while I was in M&S, said, it's all right, you can come home now. They've gone. Right. That was the reason why I'd gone out or something. But I think I'm actually better being here because I probably would have said, do you know there's water leaking in the bathroom?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Do you prefer to go and speak to him now?
No.
You start?
No.
Are you sure?
He should be able to. Yeah, he's got a cloth. Pop it up after. Oh, dear.
I did that bar work. And I kept
my mum said, oh, you must ask Katie how she's got on with her new job. Yeah. So.
Didn't mum know I was only doing it voluntary?
Yes.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah, and no, it was good. It was good. We took more money than they'd ever taken before.
What, because of you?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that way.
What were you doing?
That's what I'm going to put on my CV anyway. No, it's good. No, it all came back. There was a couple of times somebody requested something and I just had to go, oh, and then, yeah. No, it was good fun. Good fun. They were a very nice crowd. Huge queues.
Yeah.
Oh, the queues. But hey, I know.
Did you find that threatening? I mean...
Well, they weren't standing there with baseball bats or anything like that.
No, I know, but when you know that you're in charge of getting that queue down, there's a lot of responsibility there, isn't there?
We couldn't have done it any quicker. There was me and A and other, and that's it. We could not have done it any quicker, so we were flying. Yeah.
Did you have signs up telling people to be polite? That's the latest, isn't it?
Whenever
you go in shops or anywhere like that, it says we will not stand impolite behaviour and what have you. Yeah, the bank. I noticed that in the bank yesterday. But, yeah.
No, they were good. They were good. In fact, somebody said, thank you for doing this. So, And
get yourself a drink. Did anybody buy you a drink?
No. No! Thinking about it. Cheeky beggars. And I thought about you on Saturday. We were going to do our cupboards together, but I know it was only me. But I did my cupboards.
Oh, did you? Oh, I've not done mine.
set aside at least a day. But anyway, they're done now.
It is a big job, isn't it?
It's a huge job.
Yeah.
But quite cleansing, I have to say. Very cleansing. Glyn and myself now can't find anything because I've put everything. You know when you go, no, I'm gonna totally revamp this. And then you think, oh, what did I do? Anyway, so I have revamped things, cleaned things. We're living a totally different life in the kitchen. But
fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. We've got a new addition in the kitchen. Yes. Not a baby.
Not a kitten, not a puppy.
No. A toaster. Yeah, a new toaster. Well, my sister contacted me the other day and said, what do you want for Christmas? And this came shortly after we'd had a kind of bit of an incident with the old toaster. The toaster, we've had it years and years and years. It's been a really, really good toaster, but it's on its last legs. And it only toasts on one side. So on one of it, it's got two slots. So if you ended up with the left-hand slice of toast, you had to either turn that round or just live with the fact it's only toasted on one side.
I've been to a few hotels when that only happens on one side.
Have you? Oh, I find those quite frightening, those toasters where it goes through and comes.
Mm.
Oh! Don't like them. And then the other day, I read somewhere that you can actually do something called pop and peek or something like that. If you've got one of these toasters, it says you can bring it down and bring it back up again and have a look whether your toast is done or not. Mm. And if it's not, pop it back down and it will continue to toast. you know, without you interfering, the kind of cycle of it. And I thought, well, do you know, I've never known that, that our toaster had that feature before. Well, I've realised it didn't. It didn't have that feature. It's only on certain models. 2 minutes later, there's smoke puttering out. It's like, oh no. Well, we got peak and pop or pop and peak or whatever it is. So I thought I do need to get a new toaster. So I have gone for one of these models. It's very, very traditional, British-made, handmade toaster. But Peter says it's a beast. My mum misheard that and thought he'd said a beast. No, it's not an obese toaster. It's a beast. Yes.
Two slots.
Oh gosh, if it had been four slots, we'd have had no room on the worktop for it. This is but oh, it is my lovely toast, which is the main thing really, isn't it?
so a new addition to the kitchen.
We've
just come back from the Royal Welsh Show Winter Fair, just done 2 days there. Oh, it was cold. It was dry, which was nice, but it was cold. Anyway, behind the scenes were the most amazing two ladies working there. And again, I always think of your mum. It was a Kerry. She was Kerry, not Kerry or Kelly. It was Kerry. And a Paula. And anyway, we were chit-chatting. They worked so hard. And at one occasion, we got talking about something. Oh, they're cleaning the cupboards. That was right. And Kerry pipes up. She said, oh, she said, yes, I've got to sort out my... Now I'm going to quote this. Going to sort out my alcohol cupboard. She has an alcohol cupboard. Who else do we know who has an alcohol cupboard? Nobody.
Me?
No.
I've got one.
You haven't got an alcohol... you haven't got an alcohol cupboard.
I had to move the chest of drawers from here, where it normally is, so they could get to the radiator. But behind that is the alcohol cupboard. It's the secret alcohol cupboard where I put my bottles of wine if I bought them. But it's also, it also contains stuff that over the years people have bought me to drink that I'm not that keen on. So... It's like the kind of desperate alcohol cupboard that I've never been so desperate that I need to go in it. But great news, my sister is coming down, is calling at hours on our way down to her husband's parents at Christmas. So they might come round for drinks on Christmas Eve. So I'm thinking... the desperate alcohol cupboard, just get it all out. Yeah, they'll drink anything.
I can't believe that you have got an... there's me saying to... Oh, I've never heard of an alcohol cupboard. And there's my friend H, got his very own alcohol cupboard. Wow.
Yeah.
We'd better talk about something to do with cookery, hadn't we? And otherwise...
We had.
Otherwise, there'd be more complaints.
Have we had complaints about we don't talk enough about cookery?
No. I just thought I'd put that in, because sometimes we've just got to be a bit edgy, haven't we? Just a bit out there.
Yeah.
Because I heard myself talking to Kerry and Paula about our podcast.
Yeah.
If they ever listen to podcasts, Paula said no, and that was it. She wasn't going to be pushed on it, that's it.
Sometimes you can't persuade people, can you? I tell that to Peter. Don't keep pushing at a door that's closed.
Is he still in the door? Is he still in the doorway?
No, he's still... I think he's brought him in. I think he's working on the radiator. But normally, I might say to someone, would you like a cup of tea or something like that? Yeah. And just leave them to it.
Yes.
Peter likes to talk all the time they're working.
Oh.
And it's like... It takes twice as long that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Either that or they're not concentrated there.
Hence the leak.
Yeah.
I found a little something because I thought, well, we're now into December, only just.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be quite nice to do some little bits and pieces. And I found Christmas customs and recipes around the world. Do you want to see the cover?
Oh, how lovely.
There's the cover.
Yeah.
It's very
subtle. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a bauble dangling, but the bauble is more of a globe. And then Santa's doing his rounds round the globe, which is a bauble, but it's a globe. So that's it.
This is what we should do, isn't it? As a new podcast for the new year, we will describe classic illustrations through the medium of a podcast. Yeah.
Now it's my turn. Let's cross to our arts correspondent, Katie Johnson. So this is, it's been selected by Air Force Wives of the 1962 ND. So it's the second. So is it 1962nd AACS Group, Okinawa, in 1959. Oh. Yeah. So we start with Dutch dumplings. Then I found, is it, now I know you and me with my pronunciations, Liebrucken, Lebrucken.
Never heard of that. I've heard of Lebkuchen, but that's got a K in there. Liebrucken.
But is your K this C?
I don't know. I thought you said it was L-E-B-R.
Yes.
Lebrucken. No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, because I think I've seen that somewhere.
Have you? Oh.
But the reason I've picked this one is because it's been sent in by Louis Birdseye.
Louis Birdseye? Who's Louis Birdseye?
Birdseye, the frozen people.
The frozen people. Get warm round here and get yourself defrosted.
We can't round you because your radiators aren't working. No. Well, let's just have a look. Louis, it's L-O-I-S, Birdseye. Let's have a look. L-O-I-S. Oh. Now, there was a Louis Birdseye in the 1940 census, age 27, South Dakota.
But, do you know, I think it's these algorithms again. All I'm getting is a Birdseye semi-plain wool regular fit suit trousers from John Lewis. So, I...
But this
got a commode.
What on earth is that to do with Birdseye, a commode?
A Louis Philippe inlaid Birdseye commode. Yeah.
So they don't just do peas.
No. I think it's a different type of commode. What we call a commode is something that you might use. It's sort of chair-shaped, isn't it? And you might have a secret little poo place or whatever underneath. Whereas I think a commode can also mean a chest of drawers, which is very, very confusing, isn't it?
Oh, you don't want to be whittling in one of those.
Not at all, no.
But do you know, all this talk of these things, it's not the one I wanted to share with you. The one I wanted to share with you is, are you ready? Luscious. Yep. Oh, you just know this is going to be a fantastic recipe.
Yeah.
Luscious Christmas nut balls. Yep. And they've been sent in by Lula Smith.
Lula's a nice name, isn't it?
Lola, wasn't it? It was a showgirl, not Lula. Do we know any famous people with a Lula? Hang on. Do we know any famous Lulas?
No. Lulu, who I once met in Boots in Scarborough. She was buying some astringent and my nan was with me at the time, and she said, oh, don't talk to her. I've heard that she's not very friendly.
Oh, that's so awful. You speak as you find. Oh, that's
exactly
dreadful.
Exactly.
That's how rumours start. Yeah,
it is.
Was that your nan as in Uncle Walt and...
My Uncle Walt's sister.
Oh, Uncle Walt's sister.
My nan was my Uncle Walt's sister, yeah.
I can't find a Lula. Anyway, back to my balls. It says 1 cup of butter, brackets, do not substitute, close brackets.
No.
No marge, nothing. It's definitely got to be
no
butter.
No marge, no, no.
1/4 cup of confectioner's sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 tablespoon of water, 2 cups of flour, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 2 cups of pecans.
I thought they were going to be savoury, but they're sweet then if they've got sugar in it.
Cream the butter thoroughly and add to it the remaining ingredients. Chill dough for 1 hour. Form dough into small balls and place on cookie sheet. Bake in slow oven, 250 degrees, 1 hour, 45 to 55 minutes. Seems a long time.
Oh, that's a long time.
Does it say 1 hour? It says 1 or 45 to 55 minutes. Do not brown. Yeah. Roll in confectioner's sugar. And that's it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, and speaking of sugar, I found out the other day, you know, after you've had a meal and you always seem to want a pudding or there's some urge for something sweet.
Yeah.
Officially, this is all proven. There's a reason we have room for dessert. Our stomachs expand in contact with sugar.
Oh.
Yes. Now, judging by my tummy, I must have a sugar belt strapped constantly around mine. Yes.
Has sugar always been around? I thought we had to wait several centuries for sugar to be discovered or
Well, yes, we whatever. Have. But since sugar, it's official that our tummies expand when in contact with sugar.
I don't think like in sort of caveman days.
No.
They wouldn't stop. Ooh, I could just eat something sweet.
But then we wouldn't have had scientific what's-its, would we, in the old days? So it's sort of since.
Scientific what's-its?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's cross to our science correspondent. Oh, dear.
Obviously, in order to justify the amount of money that I've spent on a new toaster, I thought I ought to do a little bit of research into toast.
Oh, okay.
We've not talked about toast before, I don't think, have we?
Oh, I don't know now. I think you might have done.
Have we?
Oh, me think, I'm sure.
I don't remember talking about toast. I remember the very, very first episode. I think it was the very first episode.
Yeah.
We did talk about toast water. Because the reason is I didn't realise that's how toast came about. Basically, it comes from a Latin word, torrere. I didn't study Latin, so don't correct me on that. Torrere to parch, but they used to basically just grill bits of bread and drop them into wine or ale or things like that, and use it to flavour the wine or ale, and then pull it out. So that's where the word toast, you know, when you toast someone with a drink, that's where that comes from as well. Oh. I didn't know that.
No, we've learned something.
That's interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling people, just in case they don't realise, that's interesting. That bit's interesting. So, yeah, so it's mentioned in Shakespeare, apparently Falstaff. Says, go fetch me a quart of sack, which is some kind of drink, and put toast in it. But yes, I was interested. Have we talked about sliced bread before?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know. So in the early 20th century, pre-sliced loaves of bread, which I don't think either of us are greatly fond of, are we?
What?
Pre-sliced bread.
As in pre-sliced bread. What?
You know, if you're buying bread,
yes.
I quite like bread that
unsliced.
Has got a kind of bread unsliced.
Yes.
And I don't mind if it's a lovely artisan loaf that someone has expertly sliced for me.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not greatly fond of kind of commercial bread.
No.
But anyway, that did help in some respects increase the demand for toasters, sliced bread. Yes. The first commercial bread slicing machine was invented by Otto Rohwedder. And it was installed in Chillicothe, Missouri, at the Chillicothe Baking Company. And it was 1928 when the first loaf of commercially sliced bread was sold, produced under the name Clean Made. I don't think that sounds incredibly appetizing.
As in, when you said Clean Made, I was thinking M-A-I-D, but you're on about M-A-D-E.
No, M-A-I-D. Oh. No, it's a clean maid. She's got a nice clean pinny on and what have you. Mm. I'll read you what it says. So this is the Pacific Baking Company in Los Angeles, the home of Clean Made and Wholesome Bread. But they've spelt wholesome. You know, we're thinking of it's not nice and wholesome, yes. But it's spelt H-O-L-S-U-M.
Wholesome
bread.
Right.
Wholesome. Where cleanliness is habit, it says, visitors are always welcome. We concede that bread eaters have a right to see how their bread is baked, a right to know what goes into it and under what conditions it is evolved from the raw materials to the finished products. This is an invitation to the housewives of Los Angeles to visit our bakery at any time and satisfy themselves that clean made bread is clean in fact, as well as name. Can you imagine that you just kind of open house in a factory,
yeah,
to all the housewives in Los Angeles? Come and have a look at how we make our bread.
I'd have gone with a different tagline. So that last bit again.
Yes, what? Satisfy themselves that clean made bread,
yes,
is clean in fact,
no,
as well as name.
So
no.
Satisfy the fact that clean made bread is clean made bread. M-A-D-E.
Yes, good. We're just about 100 years too late. It's like... Did you know as well they banned sliced bread in America?
No.
In 1940? Yes, in 1943... They were concerned that the machinery used to slice bread was adversely affecting the war effort. So there was a time, I think, when anything metal was kind of melted down for ammunition, wasn't it? Railings and all sorts of things like that. So the government came up with this idea that slicing, pre-sliced bread was unnecessary. So they banned it. But there was such an uproar that it only lasted 7 weeks, this ban.
Wow.
Yeah. 1943.
God,
yeah.
That's good, isn't it? You know, we're chatting about the Royal Welsh Show and the alcoholic cupboard.
Yes.
It was announced at the show, so this is only a couple of days ago, that leeks, the Welsh leek, is now protected.
Protected against what?
It's recognised as a, that is the Welsh leek. What's they call it? The PG... Not tips. PGA, no, that's golf. What is it when it's protected? Geographically protected.
All right.
PG what?
Oh, right. You don't mean it's like, not like an intellectual property right or something like that, is it? That the Welsh have a sort of copyright on leeks? No.
No, it's the same as, what is it, the Parma ham.
Oh, has to come from Parma and champagne has to come from the Champagne region of France. Is it that? No? Well,
that means then none of us can have leeks other than Wales. I don't know now. It's the latest edition.
No, because you can still buy them. But no, they must be able to grow leeks,
yes,
other than in Wales,
so
can't they?
It's a UK geographical indication scheme which protects the name, authenticity and characteristics of regional products. So, yes, they've been protected, the Welsh leek.
Ah, so... If it's a Welsh leek, it has to come from Wales.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. I would expect so.
Why didn't I say that at the beginning? See, this
I don't know.
This is why you're the food expert, isn't it?
No,
it?
No.
No, no,
that's
it is.
Not true.
It is.
It's just that I did see some leeks in the shop today and I didn't check where they were from. So.
Now then, we've got some people to say hello to. Amy's getting in touch on our Facebook. Hi to Cardinal Shell, to your mum's in the kitchen, Eliza Williams. Hi to Jerry, was very upset about you having to wait outside for your hen do.
Oh.
Yeah, she was worried about you. Because I was thinking about that. You were outside for an hour, weren't you? Because you had 10 minutes before, then another 40 minutes. So you were in the outside for an hour.
I think it was probably about 50 minutes in total. Yeah.
Right.
But yes, it's not great, is it really? I say last week that I did consider just walking off?
No. Did you?
Didn't I?
No, you didn't. To be honest, judging by the response we've had and myself, we wouldn't have blamed you, Howard. We wouldn't have blamed you.
No. I wouldn't have got paid, though, would I? But there comes a point at which my mum would have said, I'd have given you the money for it. Yes. She would. She says that all the time, you know.
And Lorraine has been touched, and quite a few people have got in with the same question, wondering what happened to Frances Quinn being a guest on your podcast. Now, funny enough, Frances was supposed to join us last week, but commitments took over. She's definitely going to join us. It's just a busy, busy time. So we will let you know when she is going to join us.
Well, she better let us know, hasn't she, as well?
Now, Kathy's been in touch. You know, we're talking about chocolate mousse. Kathy says, have you heard of the famed Iowa State Fair butter cows?
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds interesting.
She sent a picture of a butter cow.
Oh, that's nice. So quite like that.
Life-size butter, all made in butter.
Has it got a support? Must be something helping those legs. Because you couldn't stand up on butter legs, could you?
Well, it's all butter. Butter cows usually weigh in at around 600 pounds.
Wow.
Artists apply low-moisture butter to a wood metal wire.
I thought so. Otherwise, you'd just do one lying down in a field, wouldn't you?
And then when it melts, you say it was a hot day. They carve it in a 40-degree refrigerated room over the course of several days. And each year, a new butter cow takes centre stage at state fairs, usually made using the butter from last year's sculpture, also recycled as well.
That's good, isn't it?
According to the artists, the butter gets better. Oh, that's difficult to say. The butter gets better the more it's worked. And one sculptor's butter can be reused for up to 10 years.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is good.
Kathy also does say that, you know, we're talking about all sorts of... you were on about buffaloes, weren't you, and groups and things.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, she said Elks Lodge, there's something of, in the States. Kathy's aunt was a member but was kicked out for risque behaviour after becoming a rather too merry widow. Hi to Barb for getting in touch, also to Jules and to Lorraine, to Jane, hi to you Jane, and to Anthony who says keep it up, the laughter is good for the soul. And also Teresa saying about Howard's 40-minute wait. You don't get that with a WI, she says.
No, that is absolutely true. Yeah. I'd have never got that. No.
And then she said, also the subject of moose. Did you see the article about the moose? She thinks it was in Canada, where it fell through a house window and ended up in a basement bedroom. Flipping heck. Huge rescue operation to liberate it. Thanks for the laughs, a real tonic in these difficult times. Hi to Laura, L-O-R-A. Hello to Laura. Saying how young you look on that picture we put up on our Instagram and Facebook pages of when you were a baby.
Oh, I know. You can take that 2 ways, can't you? It's such a blight.
No, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
No, I've had a thing today, actually, from, you know, the literary agent that I had with my book messaged me today saying they're updating the website and would I like to send a more up-to-date photo?
I thought you were going to say they wanted a new title and would you be interested in writing another one?
No, they just want a new photo and updated biography, I think. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, Howard. You know, I'm conscious of that. Bras do make an appearance quite a lot on our podcasts. But I'm afraid it's going to have to...
It's fine. I love the fact that you can talk to me about this. This is great. Yeah.
Well, how can I start this conversation? You've heard of underwire bras, haven't you? And occasionally, yes. I think I've mentioned before, when the wire comes out, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not nice. No. Fortunately, I was wearing a poncho, and I'd been out and about, and it was abstracted.
Oh, this is not while you were doing your bar work, is it? I just thought there might be a link here.
This was the other day, night before last. Yeah. I'd been out and I'd come back home, Greeted by Harvey as you do, and I bent down to stroke him. I thought, oh, what's that? What's that? Thinking, well, I haven't got anything on. It just felt as if something was really sturdy against my whole body, about from my chest upwards towards my neck. I thought it was a bit strange. Anyway, I then sat down and had a look, and Harvey came over, and I thought, I started to laugh, and I took a picture of it, in fairness. And as I pulled out just my polar neck and my poncho, bloody wire was sticking out the top from your bra. Just come all the way from down here, all the way to the top, and was jutting out of my neckline.
No.
The whole thing had come out.
Somebody, you need to complain about that. That's a hazard.
It could have done me a mischief, couldn't it? But thank goodness.
How long have you had it?
Oh, only a year.
Oh, right.
But I was thinking to myself, like, if I hadn't got my poncho on and I was out and about, everybody would have seen. Because I didn't know. It was only when I bent down to see Harvey, and you do to stroke him, that I thought, oh, what's that? And she'd come all the way to the top. I don't think I could...
Was it not doing its job at all then? So were you uncovered, as well as having a wire about to poke you through the chin?
It had left where it should have been, supporting.
Yes,
obviously. But a poncho, you can't tell. But it wasn't doing the job. Let me see if I can find this picture. And I'll send you it with Harvey, and then you'll see what I mean. So
I must admit, I found the cleavage in my photo bin. Yes, I didn't realise that it stays there for a few days.
Now, I have to be careful, because I'm sending you this, and if I'm not concentrating, I could send it to somebody else. So I've got to send it to you. Right. Don't. Okay, H. It's coming over now.
Wait a minute, that's not you. Oh, there we are. It's quite thick, isn't it?
Yeah.
That wire. Good grief.
I know. Well, I've got big bosoms, you see. That's what it is.
Oh, that's Harvey, isn't it? That's not part of your poncho. Oh, bless him.
So you get off lightly, you fellas.
Oh, dear.
Might you be a good weapon if you were attacked, wouldn't it, or anything? Any good savouries?
Oh, I know, but you've got to move quickly, haven't you? To pull the wire out of your bra.
Hang on a minute. So, the question is, do I push it back in and sew it up, or get rid?
I'm the wrong one to answer that question, who gives up on a toaster after about 20 years. So, I think... No, speaking of funny stories, though, do you remember the one about my mum with the doorbell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we've had another doorbell story. So I'm on the phone to her the other day, sitting in the study as I am at the moment, talking to you, chatting away on the phone. My mum says, "Oh, just a minute, somebody at the door." So anyway, she goes on. She says, "There's nobody there." She said, "I heard it ring." Anyway, came back. She says, "It's gone again. Just a minute." So then she goes off. She says, "There's still nobody there." Third time, we realised what it was. As an email comes through on my computer, it pings. Right? She's answering the doorbell, thinking there's somebody there. But it's just an email coming through on the computer.
Dear June, you'll be pleased to know Peter did finally let the workman out, and I can report no more leaks in the bathroom and both toasty warm, including their new toaster. Having looked into it, we suspect Lebkuchen is indeed Lebkuchen, the traditional German Christmas cookie, just with a different spelling, and instead of honey, it contains molasses. And I know I probably haven't pronounced those correctly, so apologies. Thank you as always for your lovely messages. It's always nice to hear from you, be it via email, podcast@theshackbaggley.co.uk, Instagram, Facebook, and now Pinterest. Just look out for Shack Baggley. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Oh, I had an email. Oh, no, June, sit down, lovely. It's not the door.